Science can't explain everything. Just because you can't see me doesn't mean I'm not here.
Thank you for joining me, everyone, and welcome to Paranormal Encounters podcast series. My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the host and the producer of this show. Sit back, grab yourself some popcorn, and let's get started.
Be careful what you wish for.
Please welcome to the show this evening, Catherine Cirillos.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Once upon a time, in a land not too far away, there was a little girl named Catherine. And Catherine was not necessarily the nicest little child. In fact, she was in trouble quite a bit in school, especially when she took out her tarot cards to entertain her fellow students during class. Catherine Cirillos is a world-renowned practicing psychic trans medium. She is originally from Sydney, Australia, and has a very strong Greek ancestry. Catherine has been seen on national and international Greek television shows talking about the paranormal and paranormal field. She is a highly gifted psychic trance medium and paranormal investigator. She can actually feel how a person passed away. Catherine channels spirits in all aspects when investigating. She dedicates much of her time as a researcher with a demonstrated history of working in the paranormal industry. Catherine is the founder of Oracle Whispers, where she offers readings and teaches psychic, spiritual development, and different healing classes to adults and children. Her skills integrate strong talent with past life regression, remote viewing, psychometry, spiritualism, parapsychology, demonology, and clinical hypnotherapy. If Catherine were to tell you what was her most strongest gift, she would say remote viewing, psychometry, and of course being a psychic trance medium. Catherine is also a channeler and spiritual healer, and she does dream interpretation. We had a lot to talk about this evening, so sit back and grab someone next to you. Catherine and I had a whirlwind of conversation tonight regarding not just her gifts, but what these gifts have meant to her. Please welcome to the show this evening, Catherine Cirillos. Well, good evening, Catherine, and thank you so much for being on the show today.
Good evening from here as well, and I am really glad I'm on that show, on your show.
No, it's all right. And not only that, everybody, she's coming to us all the way from Greece. So this one should be a very interesting night tonight, and we're very happy to have you. So, Catherine, what I usually do is I start out, as always, with all my guests, and I like to establish the foundation as to where it all began for them, simply because I think there's many people out there who can actually relate to being young, but not everybody has been young that I've interviewed on this show. So let's see where it all began for you.
Oh, I can start with a small story. With my mum, I was 6 months old, and I went into hospital clinically dead, and they didn't know what was wrong. They were saying that there was some kind of bug in my liver, but they couldn't find anything. So I had a blood transfusion. I still have the scars in my hands. And my feet with four tubes going into the side of my liver. And apparently, they said that that I was clinically dead. So then I said to her, I'm praying that she comes alive. And my mom prayed to the Mother Mary, and they even baptized me, because the Greek Orthodox, we have to be baptized before we pass over. Mm-hmm. So they baptized me in the hospital. I've been baptized 3 times, actually. It's really funny. The story is really funny. So when my mother brought me home, apparently she had washed the dishes and she had 6 glasses sitting on the bench. And as soon as we walked in the house, all the glasses started breaking one by one.
Oh, my.
And I think that was the first paranormal experience, I think, that came in contact with me, because they couldn't know what was wrong with me. They couldn't find what was wrong with me. They just said there was a bug.
Interesting.
And then I got into my gifts of, as every child does at a very young age. I must have been around about 10 or 11, around about my girl's age. And because they're coming into their gifts at the moment too, very intensely. Mm-hmm. And I usually had the usual, like, that everybody has, like hearing voices, hearing my name being called out. I would walk back from school, and if it was like afternoon, you know, when the sun sets, and I would walk back from school or being out with my friends, because I was born and brought up in Australia. So in the 80s, you were more free to go out and come back, you know, a bit later.
Yeah.
So I would always feel like somebody or something was following me. So I would always look behind my back.
Mm-hmm.
But there was nothing there, to the point where I would get scared and I would start running and bolting home, because I would always feel a presence.
Yeah.
And at the age of 11, an auntie of mine, that's when I witnessed my first exorcism, at the age of 11.
Oh, my.
It was really, really intense for an 11-year-old. We went to a monastery, a Greek monastery, and they do exorcisms here in Greece every Wednesday. It's the Saint Cypriot. He was one of the saints that a wizard, not a wizard, but a warlock or a witch,
mm-hmm.
practicing the dark arts,
mm-hmm.
in his days. So after that, he became a saint because he repented, became a saint. So they perform at his monastery here in Greece. They've got quite a few of his monasteries. They would perform exorcisms every Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to that monastery to pay our respects, and that's where I witnessed my first exorcism. I will never forget it till this day. It's still very intense in my mind, the way she bent, the way she was screaming, the words she was saying, the languages that she was speaking. And at that point, I didn't know what an empath was, right? So I was picking everybody's emotions there, to the point where I could feel myself choking. I could feel the girl, how she was feeling. And I ran out of the church. I passed away, fainted.
Right.
And passed away, sorry. Yeah. So I fainted because of all the intensity. I could feel myself levitating in the church, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how intense it was. And after a while, a priest that knew my auntie, and he was a very well-educated man, he was into the paranormal as well. He had read about it. He said that, you know, your niece is a very gifted child. Maybe she should do some seminars. And he actually gave her this phone number. I still have the book of doing the seminars back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't give certificates like they give out today, you know, right, left, and center. Well, I went, and what they taught us at those seminars was self-hypnosis, psychometry,
mm-hmm.
psychokinesis,
mm-hmm.
telekinesis, which is the same thing,
mm-hmm.
Remote viewing,
mm-hmm.
How to develop our psychic mm-hmm. and our spiritual gifts. And what we learned, and I still remember it till this day, is that they told us that you are born with your psychic gifts. They're imprinted in your DNA from generations and generations back. The same with our spiritual gifts. So that's where I started at a very, very young age.
Well, let's go back a couple. I've got some questions. Let's go back a little bit here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try and pick this apart a little bit, some of the things that have come into my mind. Okay. The one thing that I find incredibly interesting and fascinating is the fact that when you were born, passed away, dead, mm-hmm. but somehow they revived you. But when you went home and all those glasses started to break, question number one is, I presume your mother told you this story at some point. Did she have the gift as well? Did this run in your family? Did she understand why those glasses broke like that? Did she ever explain that to you?
She did. She said, well, in those days, they used to call it the evil eye.
Oh.
Or that it could have been the evil eye. It could have been some hex. It could have been that because I was born 7 months.
Mm-hmm.
They usually, the children that are born premature, they call them in Greek, Lafroiskato, which I said it in Greek right now, the word, but means once the children that have a very light shadow,
mm-hmm.
that walk between both worlds.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, mum, but from what I found out, and that was 2 years ago, I actually found that out. Apparently, her dad, my granddad, mm-hmm. he used to go down to the swamps in here. He used to be the policeman for the village, right?
Mm-hmm.
The sheriff, not the policeman, the sheriff for the village. Mm-hmm. And very late at night, he would go down to the swamps and speak to the fairies in the fairy language.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, apparently there was fairy blood running through our veins from generations back. And that's where I found out about the story about 2 years ago. So, yeah, mum used to see prophetic dreams. Mm-hmm. My dad used to do readings, like card readings, but between us, not with, you know, professionally. But
right.
They were both gifted, but they didn't talk about it.
Did they ever talk about whether or not this came from your maternal side or paternal side, or was it both? Do you know?
I believe it's both.
Yeah.
I believe it's both.
Yeah.
Mom and dad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting. And so did you have any siblings, and did they also have these gifts?
I've got a brother,
mm-hmm.
and he was like sort of at the beginning, he was sort of mocking it a little bit when he was younger,
mm-hmm.
but now even when he got older, he was mocking it. And now it's really funny because my niece, his daughter, she's got her auntie's gifts.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah, I know.
It's payback time.
Yeah, I was going to say, in denial as usual.
Exactly.
Now, what's interesting too is that now that you started discovering these gifts along the way, right, I always find it fascinating when people go through their younger years in school, because, you know, there's a lot of bullying and pressures and all kinds of different personalities that are developing while you're going through your younger years in school. But yet it's that one child that, of course, I don't know about you, but back in my day, if that even happened, no one would ever talk about it because, you know, you would really be ridiculed then. But did you have, as you went through school, did you have certain gifts that you recognized, but were you able to talk about it or find somebody to share this with, or did you just keep it to yourself?
Actually, at the age of 15, my dad taught me how to do the normal deck reading, like card reading. So, yeah. I remember it was summertime, we were on vacation, and I saw him open up the cards and start doing reading them. Yeah. And I said, will you teach me? Yeah. And he sort of looked at me like a typical Scorpio, and he says, mm-hmm. I'll only show you once. And if you're gifted, you'll know what you're talking about. So he did. He showed me once what the meaning of each card was. So I started practicing on my friends at school. So instead of, in biology, for example, instead of, looking at the lesson and looking at the teacher, I would do readings at the back of the biology class. And then I would be sent to the principal's office most of the times, but that was okay.
Well, so much for that. But it was more entertaining, wasn't it? Dissecting a frog, right?
It was more entertaining than that. So they used to gather because they used to go to an all girls school. So they used to all gather around.
Yeah.
And I remember Miss Wells, she was like, "Sorry, let's go to the office." And I'm like, "Okay."
Yeah.
And it was really funny because my friends would come back and say, "Hey, you know how you said that I was going to meet this blonde guy and that's going to happen with my parents? Well, it came true." So, and the more people that found out about it at lunchtime and recess, I didn't have time to have recess and lunch. They'll be all gathering around saying, "Come on, do a reading for us. To the point where I saw death in one of the readings.
Okay.
And I told one of the girls.
Yeah.
And she sort of disregarded it and started laughing. But a week later, her dad died. And then I swore to myself, I'm never going to say anything, because I started having people sort of thinking, "Oh, that's evil. You said something."
It's the point where they get a little bit creeped out, or something really does come through. And I can't relate to you per se, but I can relate to one aspect, is that and I don't know if you found this in yourself, but I went to a psychic in my young 20s because I was having all this undisturbed energy inside of me that just was going all over the place. And there were times when the psychic would tell me, "Be careful. You've got a very, very strong, powerful mind. You got to be careful how you use it." And I didn't know what she was talking about at the time, until there are episodes where I became angry at certain individuals because of things they did to me. And then all of a sudden, some really bad, horrific things occurred. And then I went back to the psychic and I said to her, "Please help me turn this off. I don't want it anymore. Whatever it is, I don't know how to control it." Did you ever find within yourself that your abilities were strengthening, remaining about the same? Did you have to learn how to control your abilities? What happened with you then?
See, what your gift was or is manifestation. You can actually manifest. So in the older days, they would call it a curse, not that you were cursing.
Right.
So, or wishing.
Right.
Because the spoken words are much stronger than the written words. So your thoughts are much stronger than any kind of magic, any kind of spell.
Yeah.
So manifestation for you was one of your strongest gifts, and still is.
Mm-hmm.
It's still there.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to the same point where I would be thinking something and it would be happening. So, and I would catch myself thinking, "Whoa, stop right there.
Yeah.
You need to calm it down. You need to control it."
Yep.
So yeah.
Yeah, I had, over time, that's exactly what I had to do. And by the way, you're exactly correct. Manifestation seems to be something that, for some reason, I can't get it instantaneously. For those of you watching and listening to this show right now, don't think that it can happen at a snap of a finger. Sometimes this stuff takes a bit, and then it all of a sudden comes to a person. Usually when I'm not really overly focused on it and I just kind of let it go, then all of a sudden it's like a boomerang just comes right back at me. I don't know. Do you find that that's the case with a lot of people?
It is. It is. And especially when you're a young age, like you were, you must have been in your teens when that happened, or 20s, early 20s.
20s, but that's when I first noticed it.
So it must have been happening ages before that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as a child or as a teenager or young adult, our energies and our power is very, very strong.
Yeah.
So if you can manifest something now, when you were manifesting then, it was 10,000 times stronger.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and the result was horrific, by the way, too.
Yeah,
believe me. Yeah, and so I try very hard to put things out of my mind or to block anything, especially if I get upset, because you know I just know that's something where I don't want to go. So yeah. When you became when you went past high school and everything like that, and you started your journey in life and everything, now you are a are you a psychic and a medium, or are you a psychic medium? Explain the difference. Okay, explain the difference to our listeners.
Okay, psychic is like, it says the word psyche, which comes from the word soul, right? The Greek word soul. And it's got to do with what's within you, like your gifts within you, like, for example, all your clairvoyant gifts, hearing, I can't remember the names, all your clairs.
Clairvoyant, clairsentient. Yep.
Exactly. So it's like your five senses so enhanced, so intense that they become one, your sixth sense. Mm-hmm. So as a psychic, my gifts of remote viewing, of psychometry, or all my clairs, they're all enhanced.
Mm-hmm.
So I can, for instance, if I'm thinking about somebody and the phone rings of that person, that's called telepathy. One becomes the receiver and one becomes the sender. Mm-hmm. So that's one of our psychic gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would walk into a place in a haunted location, or I come across somebody and I will feel exactly what they're feeling at that point.
Mm-hmm.
A psychic can see the past, can see the present, can see the future.
Mm-hmm.
A psychic can pick the residual energy of a haunted location. Medium is the one, it's the word says it, medium, as in the one that walks in between both worlds, our dimension and their dimension, or different dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
As a medium, you can walk in between dreams.
Mm-hmm.
You can do dream walking, lucid dreaming. A medium falls under the category of being spiritual, and our spiritual gifts are, like I said, mediumship, being able to heal somebody, being a healer, being a shaman, and my mind just stopped because I've got so many thoughts running right through. Being able to speak to spirit, communicate with spirit. They use a lot of mediums in the olden days, back in the Middle Ages, in France, in Germany, in Russia, to do seances, to do different kinds of communication with spirit.
That's an interesting, you just brought up something that I haven't talked about, I don't think, on any show yet. So I want to ask you this question. Have you ever been the orchestrator, I guess, the person that in a seance, have you ever done a seance before with people in a room? Now, there seems to be quite a debate, not a debate, people wondering about what to believe in a seance and what not to believe, because you know some of them are theatrical and they're for entertainment purposes only, I've been to a couple of those, and then there are those that you're not quite sure if maybe they did make contact with somebody. Tell us a little bit about, because you'd be my first, I think, to talk about what it's like to orchestrate like a seance.
Okay. So for me, the way it's happened a couple of times, the medium that conducts you gather around in a circle, you hold hands so the energy can go. It's like electricity. So you got to connect the energy. You got to have a flow of energy, a flow of electricity, a flow of magnetic field. It's got to become strong.
Mm-hmm.
So, you hold hands to make it more intense and make the energy and make a force field.
Yep.
So the medium becomes the conductor.
Mm-hmm.
And so it goes through them. The actual spirit speaks through them. You get your trance mediums that are light. They're going to light trance and they speak with the spirit and the answer for the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then you got your physical trance, mm-hmm. where the actual spirit goes into the conductor, into the medium, and speaks through the medium.
Mm-hmm.
So a light trance medium or a trance medium speaks for the spirit. A physical medium, the spirit speaks through the medium.
So how does it feel to you when you have something actually come inside of you and you are speaking on their behalf? And not only that, correct me if I am wrong here. But a lot of people, when they go into these sessions, they want to contact their father, their mother, their great aunt Susie, or whatever. And I don't think, this is my own opinion, I don't think it's that easy to be able to call them up on contact. What has your experience been like with those or whoever is coming through you? And then what does it feel like on your end to actually have some energy like that come into you?
Okay, so years and years back, I used to, because I didn't know how to control it, being a trance medium, they would try and come through and speak through me. Mm-hmm. To imagine two souls in one body, do they fit? It's very hard. You feel like you're not there. You're not fully there. And when they leave, they take something with them.
Hmm.
They take part of you. They take part of your soul. A piece of you.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel an emptiness. So I got to the point where that would happen, not because I would want it, for spirit to come through and speak through me as a physical medium. I got jumped a few times in my younger days. And to the point where I said, okay, stop, enough. If you want to talk to me, we talk like I would talk to a person, a friend, a human being. I would have you across me, not in me.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you want to feel your loved one. I know that you want to communicate with your loved one. It's the same. Let me tell you something. When people die, their soul stays exactly the same as it was, as they were human, when they were human, like the personality, that's how they are when they die.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they stay earthbound, they start losing the memories after 3 to 6 months.
Mm. Interesting.
And so I know that, as a spirit, you want to feel your loved one and your loved one wants to feel you. But like I said, your body starts to wear down as a physical medium. It's too much for your body to handle. So I got jumped, like I said, a few times to the point where I said, okay, enough.
Mm-hmm.
We can talk from, like, we can communicate as I would communicate with you when you were alive.
Mm-hmm.
I will have you across from me, not inside me.
Mm-hmm.
So there were times when they were very eager and they were trying to jump me, and I learned how to stop them.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm to the point where I can communicate with them like I'm communicating with you at that point. And, you know, you do get your disbelievers. So I had, you know, when I do mediumship readings, I've had clients come and I would see the spirit, the actual spirit, sit there next to them. I remember an example in Scotland. There was a lady that came over and she goes, I am a bit of a disbeliever because I've been to other mediums and they couldn't see anything, they couldn't feel anything. I said, he's sitting there like this, I said, cross-handed, looking at me with a smirk in his hand, and he's not talking to me. He doesn't want to talk to me. She goes, that is so funny you say that, because when I walked past this photo this morning, I said to him, you better speak to this medium. And I said, he's actually laughing. And I said, if he doesn't want, that's fine. If he doesn't want to talk to me, that's fine. I can give you your money back and you can be off and thank you very much. And as soon as I said that, he all of a sudden, you know, put his hands down. And he said, tell her the 13th floor. I will see her on the 13th floor. And I turned around and said to this lady, I said, he'll see you on the 13th floor. That's the only message that he's giving me. And she started crying. No. She said, that was his last words he said before he died, that he will see me on the 13th floor. So my question is here, did I pick up on her thoughts or did I actually pick up on him?
Right.
So, right. Yeah. So actually, the difference that you'll find out that you actually picked up on him, on the actual spirit and not on the person that I had across from me, on her thoughts or the last words that they said, is because I usually feel the pain on how they died.
Mm-hmm.
So, I actually feel it. I go into if they had a problem with the lungs, I go like a respiratory attack, like I can't breathe.
Mm-hmm.
My throat closes and I can't breathe, or I feel like clenching my heart and tears will well up. So that's my proof of showing to that person that I'm actually communicating with a loved one, and mm-hmm. that it's not fake.
So you brought up something that I've talked to very few people about, and I think I want to address it here. You use the word being jumped, mm-hmm. and that's very interesting because when you're talking about being jumped, are you talking about when somebody is dying and their energy is essentially being released from their body, that their energy will try to find a living person or someone, a conduit, to jump into? Is this what you're referring to? I'll give you an I'll explain this, mm-hmm. and maybe it'll make more sense to you. So when my father passed away, and I won't back down on this, although I was not there, my brother was. There was an elderly man in a wheelchair slumped over in some waiting room. My brother was standing by a door, which of course had a large window in it or whatever. When my dad passed away, for some reason, this man that was slumped over in the wheelchair, he raised himself up and he started very, like, you know, like waving at my brother, like, hey, look over here, look at me. And my brother looked at him like, this is really weird. And then I don't know if the man was waving at my dad's energy as it went and left the window goodbye, or if my dad jumped into this man, because it was a very short period of time after that where the guy that was all of a sudden like this just went right back to his slumping stage and went right back down to where he was before. And I did talk to a medical doctor on my show probably 3 years ago. And I asked the question, is it possible for somebody's energy to go into another living person at the point that they pass away to either try to, for whatever reason? He said he knew of three to four cases where that had actually happened while they were dying in a hospital or in a hospice care or whatever. And so I've always found that to be kind of fascinating. So when you talk about being jumped, are you talking about something trying to jump inside you from passing away, or just energy in general that seems to be earthbound and they just found you as a an easy source to maybe jump right into you?
Mm-hmm. I'm talking actually both cases, right? So you're not wrong about the first case that you're talking about your dad. I've heard about those cases as well. But the thing is when one soul jumps into another body from one vessel to another vessel, mm-hmm. is when that vessel, like for instance, the man that was on the wheelchair,
he was slumped.
So his soul was halfway gone as well.
Mm-hmm.
So your father found an opening there.
Right.
And so the old man in the wheelchair, he was half alive, half dead as well.
Correct.
So that's how your dad was able to jump in,
mm-hmm.
because his body was abandoning him. So mm-hmm. that was a body where he was able to jump in, get your brother's attention, say a few words that he wanted to say, and then leave.
Right.
So there's been cases like that, and I've read about them, I've heard about them.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's one jumping from one body to another,
mm-hmm.
Just to be able to communicate with your loved one. And before the psycho bomb, before the gateway, because there's gates, the psycho bombs, which are the ones that the guardians that take us to go to the other side,
mm-hmm.
They open up gateways or vortexes anywhere they like. They don't ask. They just open them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the soul jumps through, mm-hmm. to go to the other dimension, mm-hmm. to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm also talking about being jumped by earthbound spirits.
Mm-hmm.
They've been earthbound for a long time, and they want to speak. They want to say things. They want to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're very open, they will jump in you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's where it comes that you have to learn how to protect, mm-hmm. before you go into an investigation and cleanse and ground, and after you leave an investigation, because you don't want to carry anything home with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had something jump me in Zach Bagan's Haunted Museum in Las Vegas. When I went in there, I thought I was pretty protected, and I was openly rubbing this cross that I had around my neck, which mm-hmm. probably provoked something in there, because all of a sudden there were little tiny events that were happening throughout that I paid attention to, and I could tell that I was being targeted. And we were going up a stairwell, it was a dark area, went up a stairwell, and that's when whatever it was took its hit at me, and I don't know what it did. It was like a frequency attack,
mm-hmm.
and it just knocked the living daylights out of me, and I was practically fainting, crawling on the stairs, because I was the leader too on top of it all. But when I got to the top, I laid against the wall, flat against the wall, and it felt like to me like being in a drum. Mm-hmm. When I was looking out of my eyes, all I saw were shadows. My sister was very panicked, and she was screaming because I just was completely out of it. And I just went into I go into trances sometimes in situations very easily. And I don't recognize it unless my husband walks in and he realizes that something has happened to me. And so anyway, long story short, it took about I shut the place down for about 8 minutes. But and I had all the theatrical performers that are in the area try to come to my rescue, but nothing, you know, I just had to let it get out of me. And so as soon as it got out of me, I could actually sense and feel just this big weight lifted off of me. And it was very strange. But is that what you mean by being like frequency attacked, or mm-hmm. or something jumping you? Because I don't know why I was the sucker, but boy, it really came at me, you know.
Because you were open. You were very open.
And very open. And
very vulnerable.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's, you let yourself drift.
I did. That's actually. Why. That yeah. I just the it was at the point that I let my entire guard down.
The guard down.
And I said, oh, I'm this is no big deal. This is like going through an antique store. And as soon as I let my guard down, I had everything from being scratched to having puppets turn and look at me in the puppet room to being all kinds of things were happening to me then. It was just very interesting, but it was the stairs that was the most significant before I actually left. So let's talk a little bit about some of your gifts here, because you certainly have a number of gifts, but some of the ones that let's talk, start with that. I haven't talked to anyone yet about psychometry. On the show yet. Can you talk a little bit about that and what that means and what kinds of things you can do with that?
Okay. Psychometry comes from the Greek word psychometria, right? Most of them have got Greek words. So, which means to be able to count the soul, to recount the soul, to be able to connect with somebody else's soul. So by having somebody's photo or an object,
right,
you can actually pick up their essence. You can actually pick up their energy, their residual imprint. So when I was doing some missing cases at the beginning of this year, I was given just a photo, no name, no nothing. And actually, there is quite a few shows where I've done missing cases, and they're on YouTube, on my YouTube. It was a panel, a whole panel with different psychics. And we were so much in tune, but we didn't communicate with each other, with the other psychics. We were all given a photo. Others were given just a name. I always ask for a photo. Just a photo, nothing else, no dates, no nothing. And through that photo, I would give them, by looking at the photo, I would read the past, the present, the future, the past and the present of that person. And that's where your psychic gifts come in, kick in. I would be able to tell them what had happened, how, if they were dead, if they were alive, if they were raped. I would even give them coordinates to where the body might be buried. So to the point where the people that we were working with, there were ex-police officers, and they would ring up the station, the police station, to give them that information, and the police officers will mock about it. Because police does not accept, I think, psychic and mediums. So I was okay with myself because I knew where that body was. And then would later on, actually, they would find the body. So that was confirmation for me. Stopped doing it. I did a few cases, but I stopped doing it when they showed me a photo of a child. And what I felt and what I saw, what they did to that child, and being a mother, I thought, no, I can't do this. Not now.
No.
Yeah. So not with photos of young children. For adults, I'm okay with it. But for young children, it hits a soft spot because, you know, being a mum, you get lots of soft spots. Yeah, that's what psychometry is, being able to, with an object or a photo, being able to read the person that we're looking for.
You know, I find it very interesting. So how long does a person have to, I think one of the more common items maybe you might get are like watches or a piece of jewelry or a special
cloth.
Yeah, cloth. How long does a person have to hold on to something like that in order to have its energy be strong enough for you to pick up on it. Because, for example, let's say someone just gave me this watch, right? And I didn't have the watch on for very long. Let's say it was a gift and then something terrible happened. So I didn't have it unless something happened while I was wearing the watch, and that energy from that traumatic experience could have possibly imprinted itself onto that watch just based on that. What are your thoughts about all of that?
It doesn't matter how long you wear it. You can wear it for a second. You can wear it for your whole life. It's the same essence. I mean, why do they say when you buy crystals, go home and cleanse them? Because people walk past the shops and touch them. They'll touch them for a second, but they will still leave the imprint.
Interesting.
So it doesn't matter how long you wear it for.
Interesting. No, that's interesting. And when did you come to learn that you had that sort of gift? I mean, obviously, was it through any additional training that mm-hmm. you were able to pick up this stuff better than, say, when you were younger? And then through all this additional training, you became better at what you were doing. What are your thoughts on that?
It started when I did psychometry when I was 11 at the seminars.
Mm-hmm.
And then, we would exchange watches, like we said, photos, and then talk about them.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on when I would do like other courses in parapsychology and higher self connection. Mm-hmm. So I did quite a few courses. I've done quite a few courses in my life, mm-hmm. and I'm still doing a few. So yeah, and through experience,
mm-hmm.
connecting people.
I know for myself, I've been told to start developing further. I know that. I've known it for years. You know, but there are things that I'm not a sponge. For some reason, there's certain things I just can't seem to grasp no matter how hard I try. What are your thoughts about that?
Okay. If you go into a course like that as a skeptic, you're going to come out as a skeptic.
Mm-hmm.
We all have different abilities, different psychic or spiritual abilities. The ones that you are drawn to more are the ones that you can practice on and develop more.
Mm-hmm.
We can't all be healers, or we can't all be psychics, or we can't all be mediums. Mm-hmm. We can't all do psychometry. But, you know, you might be better as a healer. I might be better as a medium. All that together makes a community.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, if you go in, like I remember my teacher back in 2000, my parapsychologist teacher, we there were a few students in the class where they were not getting, when we were doing meditation, they were not getting any images.
Mm-hmm.
And they would get frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
Turn around and say to them, you know, it doesn't matter if you don't get an image. You're still doing it. Believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, some of them didn't believe in it. Some of them dropped out. Others continued. So you've got to really believe in what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. What kind of preparations do you need for you to become the most efficient, I guess?
Well, at the beginning, it was like what everybody does, you know, go into a meditation state, open up, do this. Now I'm to the point, Kel, where I'll be sitting there, I'll be drinking hot coffee, having a cigarette or munching on something, and somebody will send me a photo and I'll be like, da 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 da, you know. It comes automatic.
Right.
Because of all the years of experience, and because I've been doing it from a very young age, it just pops right in, like it's a second skin, like it's just, you know, doing, like washing my dishes or doing something, you know what I mean? Like I do, it's an everyday thing. It's mm-hmm. it's part of my everyday life.
Mm-hmm. How do you receive your messages? Do you hear them, see them, flashes? What do you see?
I sometimes hear them. I might hear voices. I shouldn't say that out loud.
Yeah, I don't.
In the olden days.
I was just going to say.
Don't take me in like that.
Yeah. I was going to say, nobody needs to write a medication prescription around here for either of us. But I know the number of times I have said that myself, like I hear voices, people don't understand exactly what we're talking about, you know?
Exactly. You hear them in your mind, guys. You don't hear them out loud.
Yes, exactly. Right.
You can feel, you can hear the essence of the voice. Like you can, you know, and then I see pictures.
Yep.
They come in pictures. Sometimes I might get a gush of wind.
Yeah.
Or I get shivers. Or I start yawning.
Mm-hmm.
When I start yawning, it's because that person that I'm talking to or I'm interacting with, their energy is very low, or they meddle up with other things. For instance, there's a short video that I've got on my TikTok right now with my children, my girls that are coming into their gifts really intensely. Mm-hmm. And for instance, my daughter, my 13-year-old, she would yawn when she would walk past a vortex or a gateway. When I walk past a gateway, I feel like I'm levitating. So each person feels it different and sees it different. My other daughter, she hears voices, she sees things, she sees more of the dark side. So everybody is different on how they perceive things.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. What kind of things happen to you when you're out and about amongst people?
Okay, so I've gone to the point right now where I've had another download,
mm-hmm.
and I've opened up even more. And I would walk past, like I would go out in a shopping center where there's a lot of people, and I will start feeling what they're feeling. So it becomes so overwhelming, because you might get somebody that's sad, that's happy, that's laughing, that's crying, that just separated, that lost a loved one. So all that, can you imagine what happens? Like, can you imagine that in a big energy ball, mm-hmm. just hitting you, and then boom, as soon as it hits me, I get, like, I can sit there and have a conversation with somebody and then hear what the other person is saying, and then hear everybody else just buzz like little bees, just mm-hmm. move like that, to the point where I've gotten to the point where it's starting to hit me with panic attacks,
yeah.
and anxiety attacks.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that the same thing is happening to a lot of people these days. A lot of people just go into an anxiety attack and panic attacks because the gifts are overwhelmed,
mm-hmm.
and they're picking up on everybody. I mean, my daughter, my oldest daughter, the other day we were eating at a restaurant and she couldn't breathe. Like, she was eating and then she's going, "Mom, I can't breathe. And I'm like, "All right, baby." I said, "Calm down. Focus on five things that you can see, touch, smell, look at me." Because I know what she was going through at that point. She was, "Mom, I'm going into a panic attack." And she started crying. She was, "I'm crying and I don't know why I'm crying."
Mm-hmm.
The girl on the next table, she was arguing with somebody on the phone and she was crying.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't hear that. We didn't notice that because she was on the outside of the building.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as I turned around, my antennas to look around what's going on, because, mm-hmm. I mean, at that point, this is my child, mm-hmm. you know, something's interfering with my child. So the mother instinct kicked in straight away. It's like, whoops, what's going on?
Yeah.
I spotted that girl and she was yelling and she was screaming and she was crying on the phone. So that's what my daughter picked up on.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
For my child, that was overwhelming. For another parent that doesn't know how to deal with it, mm-hmm. they'll think the child has a problem.
Right.
They need to see a psychiatrist or a psychologist. Or the child has ADD. How many children out there that have ADD, ADHD, parents are feeding them medication and not sitting down to actually talk to the children and find out what's going on?
Yeah.
People in mental institutes who are supposedly schizophrenic are not schizophrenic, and are people.
Do you astral project? Are you? Yes. Okay. So explain the difference between being an astral projection type person and doing remote viewing. Explain those differences, because I think there is a difference.
There is a difference. When you astral project, you're actually jumping out of your body and you're traveling to places, to dimensions, to down the road, outside your house. You're actually practicing how to jump out of your body. It is a whole procedure. You know, to be able to astral travel is to be able, when I had a Taoist shaman, he taught me how to actually astral travel. He said to me, if you can sit at a bus station, close your eyes, jump out of your body with all the noise, cut out all the noise around you and jump back in your body, you've mastered astral traveling. So I did that. I've done that many times. I can cut off the noise around me and actually jump in and out of my body. So when you're astral traveling, you're actually seeing yourself, you're going through the whole procedure of closing your eyes, seeing your body, your ethereal body coming out, you know, each part one by one. You don't just come out like that. Don't forget, we astral travel every night, unconsciously. Every night we astral travel. When you get to the point to do it subconsciously or consciously, that's another story. So when you astral travel, you come out of your body and you're actually seeing, going through the procedure. So if you want to jump and go to a friend's house, you actually need to see going there, walking through the street, like you're actually walking, going to the house, telling them what they're doing, what they're eating, what they're doing at that point. Remote viewing is being able to just sit there, close your eyes, and be able to view, the word says view remotely, that person, that house, what they're doing. So remote viewing, for instance, I had a lot of people ages ago, and they still do it up to now, where they sent me pictures, because we've got a lot of gold buried here in Greece from the Nazis and the Germans and the Turkish Empire, when we were under the Turkish Empire. So we have a lot of gold buried in different backyards, acres, and people are searching for them. So I would, they would bring me photos, or they would bring me photos from the satellite. And I would give them coordinates where exactly it was. And that's remote viewing.
Interesting. The only problem with remote viewing sometimes, or finding stuff like that, is if it's on someone's personal property, chances are likely you can't touch it with a 10-foot pole, but you know it's there, right?
Exactly. And especially if there's ancient artifacts, that don't belong to you, that belong to the government.
Right, exactly. That's right. And I don't think a lot of people realize that sometimes being a treasure hunter doesn't necessarily mean just because you see it and you find it that it was already there waiting for you. It might have just been left there because it technically, I know in some states anyway, you touch some of this stuff, there are some big consequences to to bringing it home with you. So yeah.
First of all, it's got radiation.
Right, exactly.
It's been buried so many, many, many years, it's got radiation, so you can't touch it with your hands. Second of all, especially the ones that we have here, the ones that are under the Ottoman Empire, they are guarded by jinns, by guardians. So you can't just sort of sit there and pick it up and say, hey, it's mine.
Right, exactly. And I think that that's another misconception people don't realize. And I hope those of you who like to treasure hunt or you like to go find things realize that it can be kind of dangerous, or you could be putting yourself in a predicament if you don't know what you're doing, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, as we're kind of going into a wrap up today, I want you to tell people a little bit about what your plans are, If you've got any, where they can find you, if they would like to have a reading done from you, all these kinds of things. So that way, because this is very fascinating, she's got many, many different types of gifts. And depending on what you might, and don't just call her up and say, yeah, tell me where the buried treasure is, because chances are likely she's probably not going to give you that information, whether she knows it or not. But she is an exceptional psychic medium, and she might be able to help you out there. So tell people how they can get a hold of you.
They can find me through my Facebook as Catherine Sorillos or Oracle Whispers by Catherine Sorillos. They can find me on my TikTok as Oracle Whispers and on Instagram as Oracle Whispers as well.
Great. And I'm going to have all of this on the show notes at the end of the show so people can go back, rewind, and then freeze frame it, and it'll all be right there waiting for you. And again, on that behalf, Catherine, thank you so much for being on the show today.